Let's start off in prayer. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy, your love, and your glory, Lord. Jesus said, I don't do anything except I see the Father do it. And I don't say anything unless I hear the Father say it. So, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you that you lead me and guide me. I thank you, Father, that rivers of living water flow from me and into this place, Lord, and that you open up our ears and our eyes and our hearts to receive everything that you have for us, Lord. Give us a great understanding of how much you love us. And we thank you for this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. All right. Last time I spoke, which was several months back, I talked about the fireside chat and just spending time with God, and it was a real, real precious moment between him and I in my closet, in my prayer closet. And it was just a great time, and I shared that with y'all to become intimate with God, because he wants us to be intimate with him. Listen, that's what he had designed. That's why he brought Adam into the garden, because what it says that he communed with him every day in the cool of the day. God wants relationship with us. And he's gone through extraordinary lengths for us to come to him. And so oftentimes when we run into difficulties or hard times, what we end up doing? We end up running away from him. You know, if we sin, if we fall short, condemnation comes in. And then before we know it, we're distancing ourselves from God. But he's saying, no, come to me. Come to me. And one of my key scriptures for that was Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23. And everything that I'm going to be reading to you today is going to be from the Passion Translation. If you're on YouVersion, the Bible app is the TPT version. So I'll be reading from that. But in Hebrews 10, 19 through 23, it talks about, and now we are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus. And he welcomes us into his most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm, boldly and without hesitation. That's key. He's telling us to come boldly. Don't hesitate. Come on in. I don't care what you're going through. Come in. He says, for he has dictated a new life-giving way for us to approach God. Whew. For just as the veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open, giving us free and fresh access to him. And since we have a magnificent high priest to welcome us into God's house, we come closer to God and approach him with an open heart. Guess what, guys? He knows everything that's going on with you anyway. He knows a thought before it even enters into your mind. He knows what you're going to say. He sees you when you get up. He sees you when you sit down. He knows every detail of your life. So why are we trying to hide some things from him? Why are we trying to hide behind that computer and click away from a picture when somebody's approaching? Guess what? God already saw it. His angels already saw it. So he's saying, hey, if you come to me. I know what you're going through. I know what you're dealing with. Come to me anyway. Let's sit down and have a conversation. So he says, fully come with him with an open heart, fully convinced that there is nothing that will keep us from a distance from him, for our hearts have been sprinkled with the blood to remove impurities, and we have been freed from an accusing conscience. There it is, right there. That accusing conscience that you got going on. Or you're not worthy. Look what you did yesterday. Look what you did last week. Look what you did 10 years ago. That accusing conscience. And there's a scripture for that. Hebrews 9:14 says, surely the blood of Jesus has cleansed our conscience from dead works and lifeless observances that we may serve the ever living God. Please listen, I can't tell you how many times I quoted that scripture over my conscience. Thoughts, crazy thoughts coming in there. Listen, we got to guard our thoughts. We got to guard our heart. We can't just let anything come in there, right? And guess what? It's work. It's not easy. But is it beneficial? Beneficial? Absolutely. Now we are clean, unstained, and presentable to God inside and out. Footnote says our bodies are washed with pure water. Praise God. So now wrap your heart tightly around the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promise. Amen. Isn't that a good word? I didn't even get to my message yet. It's coming though. So the message that the Lord put on my heart, and it's crazy because I thought I had a message, because a while back he had told me to get a word ready, and it was about the power of our tongue, the words that we speak. And I had it ready in case Pastor Caleb was coming. There might have been he might not have showed up, but anyways, he showed up, and guess what his word was? Power of the tongue. And so I thought, hey, that's what my word is going to be. But he said, no, I want you to talk to them about the love of God, about God, how much I love them, and what I did for them. Just share. And listen, I'm speaking from the word. I'm going to be doing a lot of reading, you know. So just bear with me. I know some people might cringe at that, you know, but you know what? I love this story. How many of you heard of Smith Wigglesworth? I mean, the powerful man of God, raised people from the dead, all this stuff. Well, how many of you heard of Lester Summerall? Another amazing man of God, old school. Well, Lester Summerall wanted to hook up with Smith Wigglesworth. And so they agreed. He showed up at his house, sat down. Smith opened up the Bible and began reading it to him. Read several chapters. Closed the book, looked at him, and said, see you next week. So Lester's thinking, man, I was supposed to be coming, meeting, sitting, talking with him, learning from him. But all he did was read the Word of God. But guess what? That's what we need.
Amen.
We need the Word of God to come into our heart to transform our lives. This is the book that transforms us.
Amen.
It transformed me. And I know it's transformed a lot of men that are in here.
Yeah.
Did the same thing. And it'll do it for you if you're struggling in some areas. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So the first scripture that I'm going to kick off with is John 3:16. And let's see how many Bible scholars we have in here this morning. What is John 3:16? For God so loved the world. Look at you, man. Y'all reading your Bible. Praise God. Everlasting. Look at y'all, man. That's awesome. So, yeah. It says, yeah, and the Passion says, For here is the way that God loved the world. He gave his only unique Son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience life, everlasting life. Will never perish, but experience everlasting life. Pastor Gabe quoted a scripture at the men's Bible, meeting we had this past Sunday, and it really ministered to me. That was a powerful meeting. But he quoted John 2:24-25, and it says, you must remain faithful to what you've been taught from the beginning. If you do so, you will remain in fellowship. Here we go. This is what we're talking about. Fellowship with God. Fellowship with the Son. Coming into the Father. And being with him. Fellowship with the Son and the Father. And this fellowship, here we go, we enjoy the eternal life he promised us. Another version says that we experience eternal life. So what he's saying that this is what eternal life is, guys. Having fellowship with the Father and the Son. We think in eternal life is, you know, when we get to heaven. But listen, we can experience it now.
Amen.
But just having fellowship with the Father.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
Your will be done. What?
As in heaven.
On earth, as it is in heaven. This is what he wants for us, guys. So, another little side note to this. If you jump up in John 3, 14, which is the verse, two verses right above God so loved the world. I thought this was interesting in how it's connecting God's love to this scripture. It says, and just as Moses in the desert lifted up the brass replica of the venomous snake on a pole for all the people to see and be healed. Old Testament. And it's in this was referenced in Numbers 21, 8 through 9, which says the brass snake was an emblem of sin and disease. And the Hebrew word, I'm not going to say it, which means a fiery one, a fiery serpent. All humanity has been bitten by the snake of sin. But Jesus was raised on the cross for all people to see. So when we only need to look to him and believe, and we are healed and saved from our sin. So the Son of Man is ready to be lifted up so that those who truly believe in him will not perish, but be given eternal life. Then it goes on to say, "So God, for God so loved the world." And this is all talking about how much God loves us and what he wants for us. You know, the scripture also says, you know, what good father would give his child a serpent or a snake, right? But the father wants to give his child what? Good things. A good father, if, you know, and I believe we're all good fathers in this place this morning. We want to give our children good things, right? We want to bless them. We want to see them blessed. I know for my son and his wife and my grandson, my Lord, you know, when we go shop, when we're shopping together, they know if dad is in the house, they ain't got to pay.
Especially the grandkids.
Especially the grandkids. Oh, Paul, can I have that prize? Well, of course. Yeah. Then he starts. Yeah, well, you can have a little prize, and then you got to justify with a little big prize all this stuff. Anyway. So our heart, we're bent that way to give and to bless. Our Heavenly Father is, listen, 100,000 times more generous than we could ever be, because he's given us everything that we could possibly need for this life. And which leads me to Romans 8. Which is, man, that is such a powerful chapter in the New Testament. I mean, Paul just really brought it heavy. I've heard one minister say that Romans 8 is the template of a Christian life. This is what a Christian life should look like in Romans 8. And in Romans 8, verses 31 through 39, the heading of this says the triumph of God's love. The triumph of God's love. This is diving even deeper into how much God loves us and what he wants to do for us. Just be patient with me. It may take a little time to dive into this, but hopefully we'll get through it. So verse 31 says, so what does all of this mean? If God has determined to stand with us, tell me, who could ever stand against us? Who could stand against us if God is for us, right? Nobody. No devil in hell, right, can come between us and the love of God. For God has proven his love by giving his greatest treasure, the gift of his son. And since God freely offered him up as a sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else he has to give. We just need to really meditate on that. So if he freely gave us his son without hesitation, it says he's not going to withhold anything else from us. Nothing. So what do you need? Do you need healing in your body? I know I camp out on that a lot, and the reason why on the healing part is because there's so many people in the church that need healing. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, just at the Broussard campus, I can rattle off close friends and people that we fellowship with, probably about 25 people who need healing in their body in one way, shape, or form. Myself, I'm believing for healing in my body. And constantly going to the Holy Spirit, hey, help me on this. Show me. Where am I? Am I missing something? Am I not seeing anything? And listen, he's been responding right back to me. He says, you're not guarding your heart. Oh, that brings it to a different level right there. You're not guarding your heart. And I said, okay, what does that, Holy Spirit, you have to help me here, you know, because I thought I was guarding my heart, right? I'm in your word every day. I'm in prayer every day. He says, you guard your heart by how you treat your wife, how you treat others, the thoughts that come into your mind. And he gave me an example. He says, your wife said something the other morning, and the thought came to you that, you know, she shouldn't have said that. What? Yeah, y'all chuckling because, wow, y'all did the same thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Yeah. And you don't think twice about it, right? But he said, what does my word say? He says, instead of you being critical about that, I didn't tell her anything about it. But he says, instead of being critical about that, why not wash her with the water of the word?
Amen. That's a good word.
Rejoice.
Amen.
Amen.
Rejoice.
Rejoice. Say, Father, yeah, I know, Lord, help her, cleanse her. You know, I wash her with the water of the word. Set a guard, O Lord, over her mouth. Keep watch of the doors of her lips. Help her out. That's guarding your heart. Shortly thereafter, Pastor Gabe gave an illustration in church where, you know, he says, you know, sometimes we get huffy if somebody's sitting in our place in church. Oh. Right? It's true, right? Well, they know I sit right there. They see me sitting right here every Sunday. Hey, look. Joe, let me just tell y'all right now, Joe said he'll cut your tires if you park in his parking spot. We can joke about this, but listen, it's those kind of things that if we don't guard our heart, the thoughts that come against us, if we begin to be critical about that person who sat in our seat instead of letting the word, what should be the first thing that should come up out of our heart? It says, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And out of the abundance of the heart flow the issues of life. So if the first thing is criticalness that comes up out of you, then guess what? That's a little red light on the dashboard that's telling us, hey, you need to check this out. You might be, like Pastor Randy say, check your dipstick. Right? Check engine light, you know? So if that's coming up, we got to guard it. And we got to make sure that the word of God is in there and that's what's coming up. So that person sitting in your seat, when you see him sitting there, say, Lord, bless him. Lord, I know that that's an anointed spot right there. And they're going to get everything that you want from him in this service. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. So that's where we guard our heart. That's where the healing That's when the Holy Spirit's teaching me all of this in a very short period of time. You know, and then if it goes on a little longer, I'll go back to him again. Okay, Holy Spirit, help me out here. He said, well, you're not doing the first part that I showed you. It's like, all right, I'm with you. He says, you're not keeping the word before you. Well, I'm reading the word every single day, every morning. He says, but you're not keeping it before you throughout the day. Taking those healing seeds and planting them in your heart. Because guess what? Your heart is what? Jesus gave us a parable about the sower sows the seed. And he talks about the three different grounds that it fell on, four different grounds that it fell on, right? And only one ground produced fruit, either 30, 60, or 100-fold. So what ground, what heart, what's your heart condition? Is it cultivated to be able to receive that seed and let it get planted down deep into you? And it what it says, it will produce fruit. So if fruit is not getting produced in your life, it's not the seed issue. Because the seed is the word of God. It's a heart issue. We got to get our heart right to be able to receive that seed of healing and let it grow and produce fruit. Amen?
Amen.
Man, that wasn't part of my teaching at all. But praise God.
Huh? Jeremiah 17.
Yeah.
Well, of all else, yeah. The
that's right. And so he certainly, I think this is where I stop. He certainly won't withhold anything from us, right? So he's not holding back. We're the ones
Amen.
That keep it. We're in the way.
Yeah, the
marriage, yeah. Look here, we got Pastor Randy quoting here. Saying, yeah, you want to know the problem? This is a quote from Pastor Randy. You know what I know what the problem is? Go and look in the mirror and slap the first one you see when you walk in there. That's and say, you're my problem.
Yep.
Verse 33. So who would dare accuse us to whom God, bless you, whom God has chosen in love to be his? God himself is the judge who has issued the final verdict over us. And what is it? Not guilty. Not guilty. He looks at Jesus and he looks at the sacrifice that he made and he slams the gavel and says, not guilty. And the accuser will come to him and say, yeah, but look what they did. They're sinning every single day. He slams the gavel, not guilty. They're covered in the blood of my son. Now listen, not that we're to stay there. I'm encouraging you, don't, if you're sinning, don't stay there. That's what his grace is for. Listen, grace is not a permission slip for you to sin. I know there's this hyper grace message going around that, oh, you're under grace, so you can commit adultery. You can do all this great stuff. Just go to God. He's going to forgive you. Yes, he will. But you're not supposed to stay there. There's price tag associated with sin. Ask David. He'll tell you. So his grace, what is his grace for? His grace is an empowerment for us to stay away from sin. His grace gives us the power and the ability to do what pleases him. That's what his grace does. Amen?
Amen.
And Paul, listen, Paul talks about it. Jude talks about it. Just read the scriptures. There's backups for all of this that I'm telling you here this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 34. Who then can condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one, for he gave his life. And even more than that, he conquered death and is now risen, exalted, and enthroned by God at his right hand. So how could he possibly condemn us since he is continually praying for our triumph? my Lord.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the God, right hand of the Father, constantly interceding for us. And then we have the Holy Spirit, my Lord. He lives on the inside of us. He's our helper, our comforter, our strengthener. God has lavished all these wonderful things on us. Listen, that's why when we get before the judgment seat, man, if we're not operating in this, we're going to have a lot to answer for. He's going to look at you, hey, look, I gave you everything you needed. I gave you everything that you could possibly need to live a godly life. We just have to get in the book and find out what it's all about. The choice is up to us. Right? Joshua said, hey, this day set before you blessings, cursings.
Praise God.
Choose. How many of you say, I'm going to choose the curse right now? No, we don't. We don't consciously do that. But sometimes with our actions, it ends up leading us down that road. The footnote on this is powerful, where it says that he's praying for our triumph. It says, not only does the Holy Spirit pray for us, so does Jesus. Two divine intercessors are praying for you each day. Two-thirds of the Trinity are actively engaged in intercession for us. This is typified in the incident of Moses interceding on the mountain for Israel's victory. One hand was held up by Aaron, which was a type of a priest, which would be the type of Jesus. And the other one was held up by Hur, which is a light, which is a metaphor of the Holy Spirit, who prays with divine illumination for our good. So that's a wonderful picture. While Moses is praying for the victory of Israel, when his hands dropped, the enemy was winning. When they raised his hands up, they were winning. And so Holy Spirit and Jesus comes and lifts up our hands so that we can have the divine victory. What a wonderful picture that is. We getting there, guys. Verse 35. So who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's anointed one? Absolutely no one. For nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love towards us. Troubles, pressures, problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love. What about persecutions, deprivations, dangers, and death threats? No, for they are all impotent to hinder the God's overcoming love.
You know your limits.
For even though, as it is written, all day long we face death threats for your sake, God, we consider it to be nothing more than sheep to the slaughter. Yet, in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all. In the midst of all of that, he has still given us a victory. We still have the triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than conquerors. Oh, I love the way the Passion lays this out. We are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. We just have to believe that. The footnote says, love has made us more than conquerors in four ways. No situation in life can defeat us or dilute God's love. We know that divine love and power work for us to triumph over all things. We share in the victory spoils of every enemy we face. Victory spoils. We just have to trust him. Beautiful picture of that is in 2 Chronicles, where it talks about the Israelites were completely surrounded with no way of escape. God begins to send words through the prophet. He says, hey, this battle is not yours. It's mine. So with that, they believed God. And what did they do? They began, instead of sending the warriors out ahead, they sent the praise and worship team. Come on. Come on. And as they began to praise God, they said, give thanks to the Lord, for his unfailing love endures forever. And as they began to praise him in that, it says the enemy was self-defeated. And it took them 3 days, 2 or 3 days, to gather everything, all the spoils that was left over. So all we have to do is praise him, worship him in the midst of all these things. Amen?
Amen.
And this is one that when I first read this a while back, it really got to me. And you really have to kind of focus on what it's saying. It says, we have conquered the conqueror with merely a glance of our worshiping eyes. We have won his heart. My Lord. What that's saying is when we worship Jesus and we worship him wholeheartedly and he takes a look at us, it says we overcome the conqueror with love. Look at the love. Look at the love that Jesus and the Father has for us. And it says, and his demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. So that's why it's important to know how much God loves us, because that's where our victory is at. If we know how much God loves us, we can face anything and come out on the other side victorious. Sin, sickness, disease, all of that has no power over us. It says so right here in the book. And that's why we're reading so much scripture this morning. Amen? This is a Bible study. So I'm fixing to wrap it up, all right? In verses 38 and 39, it says, so now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I am convinced that his love will triumph over death, life troubles, fallen angels, are dark rulers in this heaven. How often I've heard, you know, especially surrounding the Freedom Conference, oh man, I'm being attacked. I'm being attacked. Being attacked by the devil. Joe, I'm sure you heard that. I'm sure you experienced it. But guess what? They're already defeated. We just have to stand our ground. It says, when you've done all that you can do to stand therefore. Don't give the enemy an inch. James says, resist the devil, and what? He must flee from you. He will flee from you. We have to do our part and do what the word tells us. We have to resist him. Well, what does that look like? You speak to him. He says, I'll resist you in the name of Jesus. Pack up your curse and get out of here.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Jesus didn't play with him. Right?
That's right.
When Jesus confronted the devil, what he did? He didn't take time. He didn't do none of that. Get out. Get behind me, Satan. He didn't play with him. So he says, there is nothing in our present or future circumstance that can weaken his love. Verse 39, and here we go. There's no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which he lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One.
Amen.
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 So, Father, I thank you for this word this morning. And Lord, in Romans 5:5, it says that your love, this tremendous love that you have, Father, has been shed abroad in our hearts. So we have the capacity and the capability of loving like you love. That's sometimes hard for us to comprehend, but Holy Spirit, help us. Help us to absorb that. That we have the very love of God that's on the inside of us. So, Father, my prayer for each and every one of these men is that we walk in your unconditional love each and every day with our wives, with our children, with each other, because your word tells us that love never fails. And so I thank you for it, and I give you all the praise and all the glory for it. And everyone said,
amen,
amen. Amen. Thank you.